Hello and welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. My name is Peter Woodbury, and today I'll be interviewing Kayla Ambrose. She's an award-winning author, intuitive, wisdom teacher, podcaster, and lifestyle expert. She's the author of 6 books, and today we'll be focusing on her very interesting book titled 9 Life-Altering Lessons, Secrets of the Mystery Schools Unveiled. So stay tuned. Hi, Kayla. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be back at Edgar Cayce's ARE again. I think that I've explored so much and talked about things before in the past on here with auras and psychic ability and empath ability, and it's fun now to talk about mystery schools.
Oh, yes, yes. And it's fun to speak with people or interesting to bring people on that. You know, Edgar Cayce passed away in 1945, and kind of that foundation that is brought in, kind of, you know, building off of that, which seems like a lot of what you do is kind of off of that foundation and kind of expanding upon that. But maybe we'll start with, maybe you can fill us in a little bit about your story, kind of your work with the mystery schools and your work with past lives. How did you get involved in doing this?
Sure, I'll give you the quick story. But first, I just want to say I agree with you. Edgar Cayce, you know, what a legend, what a visionary. I teach entrepreneur intuition, and he had that in multitudes, right? His vision for building everything in Virginia Beach and beyond. He's so fascinating. But to me, it's like he's still here. He's still amongst us, you know, regardless of his date that we, you know, say his physical body passed.
That's true, but yes.
He's such an inspiration. And yeah, so for me, I was born this way. And since I was little, I could see spirits. I would have feelings. I would intune things. My mother would say that I should just get on with things and run it. I was little in a playpen. And she'd be like, I should just go take a nap and let you go. And I began sharing with my parents very young that I was seeing spirits, that I was seeing colors around people. There was a little girl I would see in the bathroom in elementary school that I went to Catholic school. So I went and told the nuns, there's this little girl, she's really sad, she cries every time I'm in the bathroom, and they would go see, and of course there's no little girl in there. I was seeing little girl in spirit. I was very fortunate in some ways that I grew up in Louisiana, which everyone has a ghost story in Louisiana, and people, a lot of people there are very open to this stuff.
Yeah.
So I could communicate it. And I had family members that had similar abilities. So it wasn't out of the realm for me to talk about it. I remembered past lives. I was an empath. I would connect with others. I would read people and know and try to explain to my parents. It was fascinating and sometimes troubling for them. I would have dreams that would come true, and just a lot on me at a very young age trying to process. And for some reason, I remembered my past lives. I remembered studying in mystery schools. And when I turned 12, I went to my mother and I said, I'm now of age. I would like to begin my formal education. Please enroll me in astrology classes. Please let me learn the tarot. And I was lucky that she let me do it. But it was like I knew once I was about to turn 13, I was able to do these things.
Oh, wow. You know, Edgar Cayce talks about how we pick our parents. So it sounds like you picked a family and parents that were really going to support you. Did they support that? Like, did they have any concerns, or I mean, just being so forthright with your kind of psychic abilities?
They had concerns. I was such an empath. I was around 9 or 10. I don't remember my exact age, but I woke up in the middle of the night realizing my grandfather was passing away, and woke my parents up saying, this is happening, stop it, fix it. And they thought I was having a bad dream. They didn't know how deep my abilities were going to go. And nothing was wrong, that they knew at the time, really, with my grandfather. He had had a minor surgery for a hernia, was getting out the next day, no big deal. I started choking, I couldn't breathe. I was telling them something's wrong. They put me back to bed just thinking I was, you know, upset, or they didn't even tell me he was in the hospital. They thought I must have overheard an adult conversation and was worried. And about a half hour later, the hospital called and he had passed away. And they realized, okay, she feels things much more than we thought. And so they were concerned about it, but they were I'm kind of strong-willed, Peter, so they didn't really have a choice. Even then, I was kind of like, I'm going to do this. This is just who I am. It was like trying to, I did try to turn it off in high school because I was really focused on, like everybody in high school, just wanting to fit in. I was, captain of the drill team and most spirited. And they voted me most spirited. They didn't know really what I was, but I tried not to talk about it then.
If they
And
only
it
knew,
was
right?
harder to shut it off than to, that only lasted a short time. I had to, it's like breathing. It's like, tell me to stop breathing or stop talking, evidently.
And then have they are they supportive now? Are they really happy with what you're doing? Are they still here, or are they in spirit?
They were supportive. Unfortunately, my father passed in my 20s and my mother passed in my 30s. So they're with me just in a different way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the fascinating work that you do. You have a new book, The Nine Life-Altering Lessons from the Mystery Schools. It's your manual that you use for students. Could you tell us in a nutshell or a little bit about that material and that work?
Sure. So, on my journey in my early 20s, I had studied so many different things, probably that we call metaphysical, new age type things. And something was just missing all the time for me. Gosh, at that time, my parents were living in China, and I was really into feng shui. So I said, help me find a real, for real teacher. And because they were there, they were able to get me some good connections. And I started studying traditional feng shui, which is very different than the Western style. And it really, grabbed me because there's so much more depth to it. And I realized I kept asking for guidance from spirit. Please, I know there's something I'm missing in my studies. So in my early 20s, I found my first mystery school teacher. And once I began those studies, it's like everything just opened up around me. Like it all clicked back into place. Like, yes, this is who I am. This is what I used to do. This is where I used to study. I was doing that work. And I just loved it. I studied with three different teachers of different schools and modalities of the wisdom, esoteric wisdom teachings, as they call it. And my last teacher always said, you're going to teach us one day. And I was like, no. But sure enough, one day I was called and I did. And for years, I had a mystery school in North Carolina that people could come to and study there. And my students asked me to write this book. They're like, there are so many people out there, can't travel to North Carolina, can't come to the school. Please, these are, I'll date myself with my age here, but this was, when the internet was a baby, right? So, it wasn't as easy to get things like even what we're doing now. These technologies weren't there yet. So I wrote the book showing the first nine lessons that every student that used to study in ancient Egypt or in ancient Greece or where these mystery temples were located, these were the first nine lessons they had to answer. And it goes deep into who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Man, know thyself, and I will know God as it is conceived. And if you can start with those nine lessons, then you're ready for the mystery school experience. And I wanted to bring back that energy that was in those ancient temples of Egypt, but where anyone now could pick up a book or, read it or take an online course and study or study with me and be transported as a mystery school student, connecting with their higher self on a soul level, bring back that wisdom that they studied, because a lot of us that are interested in these type of topics, we've been there. We've been in ancient Egypt. We've been in those temples. And I wanted to bring it back so now anyone can have access to it. And I got a little pushback when I've written six books. That was my first book. And when I was on book tour for that one, it was interesting because I would get pushback from some groups that are kind of secret orders, we'll call them, who would attend my appearances and lectures with their arms folded, very, are you going to share our secrets? And it's like, it's time, I'm sorry. But yes, I'm going to share the secrets and it's coming out. So that's a long-winded answer, but that's what I did.
Yeah, it's like Revelation. It says that what used to be kept in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. So I guess
Yes.
you're part of bringing that forward. But that question, who am I, why am I here, and what's the purpose and meaning of life? I think that's what brought me to the Casey work, the way that he answers that question, I think. And I think that every spiritual tradition or every philosophy in some ways addresses that. And I guess you're saying that everybody in a way has to personalize that and ask themselves really to understand that.
If, you know, we spend as much time as we're given in each lifetime here, and if you introspect at all, those are going to probably be two of your first questions you're going to want to know. There's more to life than just being here and existing. And, you know, what's your purpose? What's your plan? What's your destiny? What's the point? We all want to know. And I have always shared my teachings as many paths, one destination, with love and respect for all religions, all journeys, all paths. We all are seeking to know what we call the divine in whatever form or name we give it. We're all seeking that deeper relationship within ourselves at the soul level, with others, and with a higher power. And so we all choose a different path, and many of us choose multiple paths throughout our lifetime. It's all good. It's all part of the journey. And I say what I teach is like a buffet. I put it out there. If it try some, if it interests you, then come have some more. If not, you know, you can try the next thing. And I think that's where humanity is supposed to be. We're supposed to be curious and inquisitive and try lots of things and mostly be open-minded and just kind of enjoy the experience too.
And what's it like with your students? Like, how are you? Do you feel that your students are just like ready to take this in? It's like on the tip of their tongues and they're just kind of absorbing it. And maybe it's more like remembering the forgotten truths.
Well, you know, I say my little thing I say is I'm your travel guide to the other side. And I take people on a journey, whether they want to study auras with me or psychic ability or dreams or whichever path they choose first. The esoteric mystery school wisdom teachings, really, if you really want to study them and go deep, there's a saying that only like 2% of people in the world really even want to explore this. And that's why I talk about the nine lessons first, because it gives you a good idea. Do you really want to look within that much? Do you want to introspect? Because when you do, it's like Pandora's box once you open it, right? You start looking within and things come up and you have to deal with those and process those. We start by looking at thoughts and emotions and the energy fields around you and the aura. And you are responsible for your thoughts and your emotions and how you act. You no longer can say other people make you feel this way when you really start to process it. You choose how you're going to feel or how angry you're going to stay at something or someone. And you learn all of that, that this is an experience you're having and you're choosing. So a lot of people are interested, but there is a lot of work involved. And so only a certain amount continue forward. And in the ancient temples, you know, people talk about that. They would say, oh, it's only for the few. It's not for the masses. Well, it wasn't like, oh, no, only you're accepted or only you can be in. It's most people didn't want to spend the time or the energy or didn't have the interest. So there were parables that were written. And the parables gave the story and kind of gave you a kind of the point of, you know, things you might do, but without having to dedicate your life to studying this, where only a few wanted to go so deep where they joined these mystery schools, these temples of learning, and dedicated their lives, you know, to learning that. And back then it was a dedication where you put away pretty much everything. And that was the age we're in. If we could talk about age of Pisces, age of Aquarius, it was a time where you surrendered and just gave into it. That's not the case anymore. We're in a new age where we're learning to balance all of it. We're more evolved now. And so we're learning to balance the masculine and the feminine within each of us. And that's part of what we look into as well, that it's not duality like we talk about on the earth plane here with everything, male, female, you know. Are you conservative, progressive, whatever? I won't go into politics, but at the core, what we're trying to do is connect all of that and bring back those twin energies within each of us, those divine pillars of energy, with the Ida and the Pingala, the masculine, the feminine. It's supposed to be within all of us, fully balanced, left brain, right brain, where we use both. And so now we don't go away and go live in these temples or live in the mountaintops or the monasteries. We're meant to live in the modern world, to work, to love, have relationships, interact while doing this work. Much more is expected of us these days than back then. I think it sounds great back then if you went and lived in a temple and someone brought you rice every day and you sat on a pillow and pondered the mysteries and didn't have to worry about work. But sounds like a great gig, but that's not how it is anymore.
Now, how much has Edgar Cayce been an influence for you? Like, when did you find out about him? And
gosh, I've known about him for so long because I was such a precocious child, Peter. I was in the library, I think it was around 11 or 12, reading mythology and editing the books in the library, saying that is not what Medusa is about. Her snakes mean wisdom. And they would call my parents saying, you're going to have to come buy these books. They called it defacing. I called it editing and correcting. But, I would be teaching adults in the library. They're like, who is this 12-year-old? And I'm like, let me tell you about mythology and things. Back then, I was reading every book I could. I was reading Blavatsky. I was reading. So I discovered Edgar Cayce way back when. It was just like, of course, that makes total sense. And I quote him several times in the Nine Lessons book, talking about electricity and vibration, what that energy is, explaining that, how we bring that energy through from our higher self down into our, through our aura, into our bodies. And, I love his pamphlet on the auras. And I like to think that when I wrote my Awakened Aura book, that I kind of picked up a little bit of the mantle there of what he was trying to talk about. That's what I was taught, the vibrational energy, sound energy. And I know he passed before he could finish that book and that work. So I hope my work a little bit helps carry on what he was trying to express, which I think is so life altering for people when they understand our energy bodies like that.
And where do you see, as you get the big picture of just kind of how souls kind of came into this earth and kind of where we are now and where we're heading, how do you see that going? Like, where do you, the way I'm hearing you is you're talking about like this awakening that's going on with this new age. How do you see that? What's the hope of us attaining, I don't know what would be called, kind of God consciousness or oneness?
Well, as rough as everything feels right now to people, if you ask anyone, they're having a hard time with the energy. People talk about Schumann's resonance and vibrations changing. In my book, The Awakened Aura, I wrote about this. I saw this coming now. That's why I wrote that book. It's been close to almost 10 years, maybe, because I could see everyone's aura changing, because I've always wondered, how are we going to evolve? How are we going to move from this third dimension? And our auras are expanding. They're getting these grids in them and these crystalline grids that are allowing us to take in more, where we can kind of be in and out of our bodies on a grander scale. It's amazing and beautiful to see what's happening with our energy bodies and how we'll be able to expand and astral travel and travel to the other planes more. And so I was like, okay, I get that. That's how we're going to be able to do this while staying in these mundane physical bodies. That's the exciting news. The hard news is all this that we're going through, this is really, we're evolving. It's just change is messy and hard. And as humans, we resist change. So we're all squabbling right now, not wanting these changes. But the more I see it, I'm like, yes, okay. Because I know, like, we're almost done with our, I'm just going to call it a temper tantrum, that all of us are having in different ways.
That's true.
And we're about to grow in consciousness. So it's happening right now. On a bigger scale, what I teach and what the mystery school's taught, and that's why pyramids are always so important too, is the as above, so below, as within, so without. And you're seeing me here saying, okay, this is Kayla, the person, but what you're actually seeing is like a teeny bit of my soul that's here in this body. And the higher self lives, and the soul, the higher self is in the higher planes. So it's like an upside down pyramid. So picture the essence that really is me, Kayla, the soul, the spirit, the majority of who I am that knows so many things, remembers in great details my past lives, all of my experiences. It's stored in the base of the pyramid, which is way up high, in the base, because it's inverted. It's a pyramid going this way, right? Mm-hmm. Going down. Yeah. So when we're born, each time, the pinpoint of that pyramid, the top, goes into the crown chakra here and just puts a tiny bit of our soul in here. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us, if we open consciously, then we can connect with more and know more. But what we think we're experiencing or what we know is such a that tiny little point inside of us. So when we open that back up and have access to all of that, then we really evolve really quickly. And this is what I see happening. It comes in through the crown chakra, and then it makes a right side up pyramid, this direction, around our body and enter our aura, holding this essence. So when we can open that pathway through the crown chakra and let the information fly up and down, well, then all of a sudden, boom, we evolve. Mm. We are, you know, timeless, because we're not in third dimensional time mm-hmm. here anymore. We are with the higher self that, you know, I don't want to say knows all, sees all, because we're always learning and growing. And these lifetimes on Earth are just one experience. And I know we can't talk about, I mean, I can go into multiverses and what we're doing and, you know, other things like that, but that'll take us down a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's lots of different directions to go. Now, you have a quote that I'm going to try to paraphrase, but it was something about how the mind and the heart and the soul kind of have this connection from life to life to life. Do you know the reference I'm making? That's the way that I think it's about reincarnation, and the way that I guess the soul and the mind and heart integrate with each other as we go forward.
That's an ancient Egyptian teaching as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the old days, I'll call it, people used to be so fascinated with bloodlines. Who is your family? Who is your bloodline? Mm-hmm. You know, the sins of the father become the sins of the son and all these generations. We were very focused on that. Mm-hmm. And then we started to get away from that. And that's one of the evolutions that we went through with karma, with energy. It used to come through, and I talk about in the Nine Lessons book how energy is carried through our blood, and it's pumped through the bloodstream. The heart pumps it. Mm. Every bit of the blood holds that energy, what we think, what we feel. Mm-hmm. It processes back through the heart chakra, goes back through the body. We used to move and evolve at a much slower pace. So the families we were connected with, that energy kind of did stay, some of the karmic imprints in the bloodlines. And it might take us two or three lifetimes coming back to work out that karma with families, with experiences. So a lot of people who understood this paid attention to their bloodlines, because wow, what karma am I taking on if I go with this family or marry into this mm-hmm. family? Understanding at that level energetically, they're taking on part of that energy and the karma that would be passed down through children. And the mystery schools taught about this. Mm. Well, it's not that way anymore. We've evolved past that we don't carry others' karma in us anymore. We just bring back our stuff. And now it's so quickly that what used to take maybe a lifetime to get through karma, a lot of us get through, you know, in weeks, mm-hmm. months, maybe a year. Mm-hmm. But karma kind of comes back really fast in our face these days. Most people can attest to that. You do something and you see the effects, because we've opened up our energy bodies to understand law of attraction, mm-hmm. You know, thought and its connection to action. So we have been being freed in some ways from the old ways for quite a while now, where we don't carry karmic of family ties. And so it's not as important anymore to like how the ancients were so focused on that, with that kind of bloodline thing. Now it comes through energetically, etherically, from the higher self, because we've opened the higher chakras to a greater degree. We still carry the energy, though, from our thoughts and actions through the heart, through the mind, into the spirit. And that does pump through our bloodstream and affects our physical well-being, our emotional and mental well-being, and our spiritual journey. So it's important to be aware of that and work through those things so that you don't carry it back through when we pass. And I teach a series about that called the death series, which sounds ominous, but it just talks about the process of the cords detaching and how when those cords detach, how there's three of them and they take that energy and they pull all those memories and events and everything you've done in this lifetime and bring it back up into the higher self where you review it. And, you know, I find that fascinating, this whole system that we have that's built of cords that, you know, we're fascinating. It's like we're computers in some ways. Everything's connected and gets sent back and forth. We're our own little internet here.
Now, where does the, I mean, Edgar Cayce would talk about the Akashic Records, and I know that that's part of your experience. What's your experience of the Akashic Records, and how does it fit into what you're describing?
Well, you know, I probably should write a book on that. I talk about it in some books, but there's so much. When I was in the mystery schools, you have to do rituals and you have to prove yourself. They just don't say, okay, we think you've learned this. So, for example, when I first learned to astral travel, my teacher, and this was back really before cell phones. I think maybe people had cell phones that were those big car phones, but like, you know, most of us, we didn't have them. And my teacher was in a different state. And I said, okay, I've learned astral travel. Good to go. He said, okay, we're going to test you. So he said, on this date and this time, I'm going to be thinking about someone. You're going to astral travel to me. You're going to tap into my thoughts and energy. And you're going to follow the cord that is attached from me to this person, astral travel to it, and tell me who this person is. So he didn't tell me who the person was at the time. He just said, be ready on this date. He then reached out to someone and said, okay, you're going to be the person she's going to try to find. And don't tell me where you're going because we want this to be a double blind study. She's psychic. So she could just read me psychically and say, oh, it's Susie. He's like, so don't, you know, she might get that, but she won't know where you are. So don't tell me so she can't read me. It's double blind. That's how the mystery schools work. You go through these rituals and then you prove. So on that date, I sat down, went into preparation and began to astral out of my body, travel, see my teacher where he was in a different state. I had to find the cord, which is hard because we all have cords connecting us through the auric body. So I had to see which one is he thinking about that was kind of vibrating and lighting up. Followed that cord, was in like Sweden or Switzerland or something is where I ended up. And I'm standing next to this man and he's looking at cheeses. And I can barely even say the names of the cheeses because they're written in a different language. I'm trying to write them down as I see them. So I get where he's at. He's in this store, in this market in Sweden, Switzerland, someplace, buying cheese. And I come back and then I call my teacher and I say, this is what I saw. This the man's name. I won't say it out loud, but this is who it was. I didn't know the person. This is the man. He was in this one of these countries. He was doing this, blah, blah, blah. So my teacher then hung up and had to call this man in that country and confirm. And so it was confirmed and that's how you pass. So once you can do that and you can do the astral traveling, my next thing that I learned was then taking it up a notch, going into the higher planes and going into the Akashic Records. So that's how I began my studies in the Akashic Records. Now, I had always seen karmic imprints in people's aura. So I can look at someone and there's little symbols. And if I look, like touch into the symbol, it shows me a little movie of this karmic imprint, which is coming from their Akashic Records. So there are ways to see it psychically without going there. But then I learned to go there and it's so vast. I've had different experiences every time I go. And when I'm doing a reading for someone and they ask me to do that, you know, it's always an experience, something different. Sometimes I've sat in on meetings where things are going over there with other beings. Sometimes what I usually do is I've created a room that I call it that I go into. And then it's like someone in charge comes to see me. And I believe just because you can doesn't mean you should. So those are my ethics. I don't read people without their permission. I don't look at things without their permission. So when I go there, I say, okay, I'm asking to look at the Akashic Records of, and I state their name. And I say, you know, and it's like they bring me a book and that's just for my imagery. That's how I process it. And before I open the book, I say, show me only what I need to see. that will be of help to this person, nothing that will harm them or upset them. I don't need to know their whole history.
Right.
Just show me. And I kind of let the book open itself to show me. And that's what I do in the Akashic Records mostly for other people, is to help give them that information that makes sense of something that may have happened in another lifetime and why they're still struggling with a fear or an anxiety or a worry that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the pleasure years ago to meet a professor, Erlendur Haraldsson. He's from Iceland.
Oh, he's spoken here.
I love him so much. Mm-hmm. And his book, Children Who Remember Past Lives. Mm-hmm. And I loved getting to chat with him about that, you know, and his work and that. And that just shows the Akashic Records and how those memories carry through and why we can be born with a fear of something that makes no sense because we haven't experienced it. That's one of, you know, thousands of things you can tap into the Akashic Records. And when you know, it kind of helps the fear go away or the worry. You know, believe it or not, I'm actually a very shy person. I was born very shy. And, you know, tapping into those things helped me because I realized, I say it jokingly now, like being barbecued on the steak, right? But, you know, I have memories of speaking this type of thing, teaching it before, and being burned at the stake for it. So, you know, I came back with a shyness of, I really want to put myself back out there again and, you know, be open for what flames may be thrown my way. So once I saw where that was coming from, then I at least could make a conscious decision of, do I want to do this again or not?
Yeah,
so.
It's like Edgar Cayce when he had the laryngitis, you know, he had a fear of expressing himself, probably from past lives, getting in trouble.
I'm sure, maybe we've all bumped into each other one time or another and on the way in trouble for that someplace.
Now, we're unfortunately going to have to wrap up soon, but I just want to give you some time. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, you know, I'm on a mission to educate, to entertain, hopefully, what I do, and to inspire. And primarily what I want people to know is you are more than you remember. You are greater than you remember yourself to be. And each of us are given so much. And when we tap into what's inside, when we tap into all the answers are inside. And that's what I do as a travel guide. I help you. You know, some people call me a teacher. I like to say I'm a guide because you already have the wisdom. Mm-hmm. You already know all the ancient mysteries, all the ancient secrets. It was hidden in the most amusing places within each of us and our soul, through that little pinpoint of the pyramid I was talking about that comes in and rests inside. And when you learn to open back into that, to open it up, to resonate with it, to communicate, those answers come back. And everything you're seeking, you won't find it outward anymore. It'll come from within. And that's why I teach intuition, psychic ability, seeing auras, mystery schools. It's all the same destination. Mm-hmm. Again, we're back to many paths, one destination, whichever, you know, direction you take. The one destination is to help you know yourself at a deeper level and realize just how incredible you are, how many gifts and abilities that we all were given. And then it's up to us with the free will, you know, what we want to do with it and where we want to take it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for the work that you do. It's very, very important and very timely.
Well, it's my pleasure. And thank you, too, for all that you do. And
thank you
for providing such a beautiful sacred space like the ARE that holds such beautiful energy, gorgeous location on the ocean. It's so good for the aura to be there by the water, cleansing. And to create such a wonderful space for people to gather and learn. And for all of us that live in other places, I don't live in Virginia either, creating this online space so that we can all tap in. I'm feeling your energy. Hopefully you're feeling mine. And everyone watching now, we're always connected. So we're together through these things too. So I send my love, my light, my you know, best to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you too. Thanks for your time. Have a good rest of your day.